3-day sale of Latin American art at Christie's and Sotheby's in New York has drawn attention to a rare self-portrait by famed Mexican muralist Diego Rivera. The sellers hope to rake in $1 million for the painting by an artist whose other works have sold for tens of millions. Rivera is known internationally as the larger-than-life artist whose radical leftist politics inspired and infused his art. That, along with his dramatic and tempestuous marriage to the arguably even more well-known artist Frida Kahlo, have inspired a global following. Rivera most notably gained notoriety when commissioned by the Rockefeller family in the 1930s to paint a mural in the RCA building in Manhattan. A furor followed when Rivera painted an image of the Soviet leader Lenin as part of the mural. Diego Rivera is the subject of a new multimedia lecture by Latin American art expert and former director of the Museum of Latin American Art, Gregorio Luque. Luque, who has appeared on Uprising in the past to discuss the art of Frida Kahlo and Miguel Covarrubias, will be presenting at the Ford Amphitheater on Sunday, June 7th at 8:30 p.m. He now joins me in studio. Welcome to Uprising.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us once more. It's always fun to have you on, Gregorio, to have these great discussions about some of the great Mexican artists. And, of course, Diego Rivera is one of the greatest. And I mentioned his politics, his leftist radical politics. He identified as a communist, influenced his art greatly. You could even say most, if not all, of his art was political. How did his politics influence his art?
Diego said that if it was not political, it was not art, he said.
Simple as that.
And he believed that art had a social reason to exist. He had been working in Paris, and he could not find a reason. And so one day he meets this doctor that had been in the trenches in World War I and tells him art has to be useful. It has to reach people. And he says, but how do I do it? And he says, go to see the murals in Italy. And so he sees the murals, he sees this art that is done for the people, and then he conceives the idea of bringing murals back. And he does these extraordinary murals that change the way that Mexico looks at itself, that affects history. He does dramatic murals in the U.S. And now what we're trying to do is, if you may, a second coming of the muralists, because with the new projection technology, we can put the murals everywhere. And so for the first time in Los Angeles, I'm bringing these mural shows at the heart of Hollywood in the Ford Amphitheater next Sunday, June 7th. And we're going to show all, well, not all, but 12 of these murals, life-size. Wow. Diego's daughter is going to be in the audience. And I hope that all of you can come, because this is truly an awakening and a bringing of the most radical, beautiful political art ever. And I want just to add to you that, yes, Diego's art is political, but it's not only political. Some believe that, you know, if you go out there, you don't know how to paint, but you do something that is political, it's good. Well, no, Diego Rivera has a consciousness, but he also has this incredible training. So what he does is very important, and it goes beyond the pamphlet. It goes beyond, you know, championing a cause. I think that the most interesting thing about Diego Rivera is that he places in the murals and in the paintings that before were reserved for the aristocrats and the kings and the queens and the society people, he puts the workers and the peasants of Mexico.
The farmers.
The people see themselves in the work of Diego Rivera. And so now I think people, and he does this in Mexico and the U.S. as well.
Right. So it's not just Lenin. It's also the flower seller. It's also the woman who's, you know, making tortillas.
And looking at them with hope and with beauty. Right. Looking at the people with beauty, the way he paints the children, the flower vendors. I'm going to show all of those. You will say, well, an image like that famous image that you see the back of the woman with all
the lilies,
mm-hmm. You say, well, why is that political? Well, because nobody thought that a woman like that would be worthy. Nobody thought that somebody that is not white and not rich would be worthy of doing a portrait of.
So he was groundbreaking in ways that it's hard to appreciate today, because we sort of take for granted that those images are part of Mexican culture. But at that time, he was breaking new ground.
Absolutely. At the time in Mexico, everybody felt ashamed of Mexico's Indian past, felt ashamed of having dark skin, felt even ashamed of the pre-Columbian culture. And so Diego Rivera says, this is the important thing. We have placed, he says, in the middle of art, the people of Mexico. That is important. And he does so with a beauty and a mastery. The last mural I'm going to be showing at the fort is this one, the Sunday afternoon at the Alameda Park, when all of Mexico's history comes together. And I've seen people weep when they look at that mural because they connect. They see themselves. They see their children. They see their family. They see their hopes there in a canvas in front of them.
Let's talk about his relationship to the United States. I mentioned the Rockefeller incident, if you want to call it that, where he did this mural that was commissioned. It had featured in it an image of Lenin. It was a big furor. They painted over the mural. Did that sort of reflect his typical interaction with the U.S. government, and how different was his reaction with American people?
I wish they had painted over it. They didn't. What they did is that they hammered on its surface. They destroyed this mural that is one of the most beautiful images.
They didn't
images.
Just paint over
it. No, they hammered on it. So that's why and the U.S. is always very good at criticizing censorship in other countries, and yet this is one of the greatest acts of censorship I know. No? Diego did a very important work in the U.S. He did murals in San Francisco. In Detroit, he painted the entire industry of Detroit. And he said that the greatest praise in his life had come in when all the workers came in. They didn't find any mistakes in that mural. And then in Man at the Crossroads, they found offensive that he put the Soviet leader Lenin in it. But I think that the truly subversive thing, they miss it completely, which is that he puts a worker at the center of the universe. That mural will come back to life on Sunday. I will present it. And I think it's a very good example of this idea of empowerment, of political and artistic and social coming together.
He repainted a smaller version of that in Mexico. I'm
yes, saying, he yeah. did it again at Mexico's Palacio de Bellas Artes. Mm-hmm. And you will see how that mural is so powerful and so beautiful.
And it could have been in the United States.
My dream is that someday, I want to go to Rockefeller Center. If anybody is hearing us that has contacts in New York, and I want to bring one of those, I'm going to have for the Ford a mega powerful projector that overpowers color. So even if now they have blue on it, with these 12,000 lumen projectors that we're going to be using at the Ford, I want to put the mural of Diego Rivera where it belongs. Can you believe that? Wouldn't that be amazing? If we bring back through technology the censored, the prohibited mural of Diego Rivera that you will see on the Ford on June 7th.
I'm speaking with Gregorio Luque, a Latin American art expert and former director of the Museum of Latin American Art. He gives one of the most entertaining and informative and incredible lectures that you will see. And I want to talk about how you do lectures, performance art, in just a moment. But let's continue our conversation about Diego Rivera for a bit. His relationship to his wife, Frida Kahlo, as I said, is a subject of much attention and drama. We've had you on to talk about the lectures that you've given about her. And, you know, Rivera was he was much older than she was. He was a much more trained and experienced artist than she. And he influenced her in many ways. And yet her art was very different from his.
Yes, I think that a lot of people have missed the main thing about that relationship. They all go with the affairs. You know, Diego Rivera had a bunch of lovers, and Frida too. And so they all like the gossip. You know, they like the dirt. But and so they feel, you know, that Diego was this macho man. And but, I mean, for that matter, Frida also he had lovers even with Trotsky. Mm-hmm. No? But I think that the interesting thing about that relationship is not the negative, but how they helped each other, how they painted very differently, and Diego encouraged the difference. If you think of it, Frida is the exact opposite to Diego Rivera. Diego paints huge murals. Frida paints miniatures. Diego paints about history and social causes. Frida paints about her miscarriages, her abortions, her tragedy as a woman. No, and Diego encourages that voice that is so different from his, helps her, connects her to collectors, connects her to the surrealist movement. And so I think that in many ways, Diego and Diego also benefited a lot from Frida.
Right. Now, that was my next question. How did she influence him?
Well, when they asked him who was the better artist, he always said that Frida was the better artist. And Frida was one of the few people that he actually listened to. You know, so I think that at least in that regard, their relationship is beautiful. If you look, their love notes. If you ever need to seduce a girl or a man, look at the love letters between Frida and Diego and steal. Because they send, like, not just one kiss, but 1,000 kisses and hugs, and they do little things. They sew things and baskets of fruits. It's the most romantic. All this idea of Frida does these notes where she puts her lips, and she puts this, it's so beautiful, you know.
Very romantic.
Yeah. I think my wife, Lindy, I seduced her with one of Frida's techniques.
Well, let's not go there. We'll have that discussion after the show. But let's talk about your lectures. Gregorio, you are someone who has, in a way, sort of continued Diego's legacy of wanting to make art popular, making art about people, the sort of populist approach to art. But you've also been the director of the Museum of Latin American Art. First, talk about how you do lectures, performance art in a way. I mean, you're doing a lecture about Diego Rivera's art at the Ford Amphitheater in a place where we normally see performers and dancers and musicians.
Can you believe it? This is the first time that an invited person that, like me, to the Ford Amphitheater, a major Hollywood venue. And for me, it's a long venue. You see, I am the son of a dancer, and I was terrified of being a performer when I was growing up. I didn't want to be poor. I didn't want to be a starving artist. And so I tried to be a museum director. I tried to be a diplomat. But sooner, the lectures that started as part of my job as a curator now have become the center of my life. Exactly 2 years ago, I quit my job and I decided to risk it all and to do these lectures. Like those of you who have not seen me, well, I'm better than ever because I study 8 hours a day. and this kind of idea of being a public intellectual, I have no salary. I eat what I hunt, you know, and sometimes I don't hunt that much. You know, Januaries are always awful. But I'm very happy, and I encourage everybody that is hearing me to do what I did, to follow your dream, to go for it. And in my lectures, you know, I started doing lectures in parking lots, trying to reach out to people, because I believe that
In
parking lots, yes, in parking lots. And I remember that everybody looked at me and said, "You're crazy, you're nuts, that's never going to work." And one day, you know, after one of my lectures in the parking lot, they picked up all the chairs, and I saw an ocean of can of beers and Cokes and popcorn. And everybody said, "Look, what a dirty." And I said, I have arrived. I don't know if there's any other art lecture that can deliver an ocean of cans of beers. And so I followed my dream. I am not, I did not study art history. My master's is in film. And so I prepare for my lectures like an actor. I give my lectures the dynamism of film.
Multimedia,
yes,
as you said, there's going to be this projector.
I have the best technology. I use hundreds of images. I move fast. And then I prepare like an actor. So when I'm doing my lectures, I completely lose myself in the character. Sometimes I just forget about me. I need some people to get me out, to remind me, because I could go on. I fall in this kind of state of trance there. And so then I decided that I had to do this full time. And so even though I was so afraid of being a performer, now I'm a full performer. And now I'm trying to demonstrate that art can be fun, that I can be an entertainer, that we can do this. And I hope that you listening there come on June 7th and help me fill that place, because I dream of the day where we give lectures in stadiums for thousands of people.
And I should also remind listeners that Diego Rivera's daughter is also going to be at the event, which is pretty amazing.
Can you imagine? Diego Rivera's daughter, Guadalupe Rivera, is coming specially to see the lecture. She might even give you an autograph.
Well, there you go. Gregorio Luque, let me just mention again, the event, the lecture is taking place Sunday, June 7th at 8:30 p.m. And if you purchase by May 31st, you get a discount. You can find out more and get tickets through fordtheaters.org. That's fordtheaters.org. Or you can also call 323-461-3673. 323-461-3673. I also want to mention KPFK's pledge drive is next week. There is a way for you to win tickets through KPFK's pledge drive as well to this event. But if you want to reserve your seat before it sells out, you can certainly do that at fordtheaters.org. KPFK is also a media sponsor of the entire Ford Theater series, and you can find out more at kpfk.org as well. Gregorio Luque, you have a website too?
I do, www.gregorioluque.com. And I just want to say that everything in my lecture is free. My articles, everything, videos, you can get there. And everything that I have is for you. I I give it to all of you guys.
That's GregorioLuque.com, GregorioLuque.com. And again, our fund drive is starting next Tuesday, folks, and we would love to have your help to come in and answer phones at KPFK, particularly during the morning shift. You can find out more at kpfk.org, and it's always a pleasure to have listeners come and be part of this very station as well. And also, of course, don't forget to make your annual or seasonal donation, whichever that is. Gregorio, as always, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll have you back on to talk about another great artist next
Absolutely.
Time.
Remember, like Vasconcelos said, por mi raza hablaré el espíritu. For my spirit, for my people, the spirit will speak.
Gregorio Luque, again, thank you so much. GregorioLuque.com. His lecture is happening Sunday, June 7th at 8:30 p.m. at the Ford Amphitheater. The life-size murals of Diego Rivera will also be presented via projection. For Sonali, subversive thought for the day, I wanted to quote Pablo Picasso. Diego once said, I don't believe in God, but I do believe in Pablo Picasso. So I thought I'd quote Picasso, who said, "The artist is a receptacle for emotions that come from all over the place, from the sky, from the earth, from a scrap of paper, from a passing shape, from a spider's web." That's Pablo Picasso, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.